Today we're finishing up our series, Fresh Air, and I hope everybody's enjoyed this. And to kind of give a recap of what we've talked about in week one, we talked about it's all about relationship, that we have to know Jesus and we have to have a relationship with Him to get out of the doldrums. That if we're going to have fresh air in our life, it can't be about doing certain things, but we have to know God, and that will lead us to follow Him and obey Him in our lives. And then the week after that, we talked about having a Christ-like attitude, that we have to have a Christ-like attitude of humility and love. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about we have to rest, that He makes us to lie down and rest. And to get fresh air in our life, sometimes we just have to sit back and let God bless us. And today, I want to talk about as the wind blows. As the wind blows, and we're going to be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And kind of our key text for this whole series is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And it says this, "This day I call heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." In other words, choose fresh air. Choose what I have for you. We have a choice today. We can either have what God has for us, or we can make the wrong choices and choose death. And today we have to choose that we're going to follow after the Spirit of God. And, you know, when we hear that word, the Holy Spirit, or we hear the title Holy Ghost, it brings out a number of expressions and reactions amongst people, doesn't it? Sometimes it scares people to hear the word Holy Ghost or hear the word Holy Spirit. And in case you didn't know, the Bible was not written in English originally, right? That it was translated into English. And the truth of the matter is, not always the original languages or the original word corresponds perfectly to what we have in English. And so the translators, they translated Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. But when you really look into the original languages, I think we're going to see something today that might surprise you. And the Bible in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And the Holy Spirit is referenced many times in the Old Testament, and it's from this word, ruach. Now, the right way to say that is ruach. You know, like you have a hairball stuck down in your throat, or, you know, you got choked up on a little bit of toothpaste in the morning, you know. Ruach. And so it means a wind, breath, violent exhalation, blast of breath. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? And so really, it's not a ghost or a spirit. It's a blast of fresh air. It's a wind. It's a breath. It's an invisible movement of air. And then we have the Greek. The Bible in the New Testament was written in Greek. And the Greek word for spirit is this. It is pneuma, not panuma. The P is silent. Pneuma. And the definition of this is a current of air, blast of breath, a strong breeze. Like when God moves by His Spirit, it's like a blast of air. It's like an invisible wind that moves within our soul, and it moves within our thoughts and our feelings and our heart. And so we want to dig into this today, and I believe that we're going to discover some things about the Spirit of God that maybe we haven't ever seen before. You know, and a lot of people are, you know, God manifests His way and Himself to us in three different ways, and this is nothing to be afraid of. He manifests Himself and He comes to us as a father, and we can relate to that. We all have a father. And then there's the Son in the person of Jesus, you know, who is human flesh just like you and I. So that's, you know, easy for us to somewhat wrap our mind around, even though it's a great mystery how God became flesh. It's, you know, I can somewhat understand that. But a lot of people have a lot of trouble with understanding God as a spirit. A lot of people are just kind of, you know what, I'm comfortable with the Father and the Son thing, but the Holy Spirit just kind of scares me. Like, you know, I don't want Casper the ghost in my house, all right? I'm good with Jesus. But, you know, it all is in the person of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is how Jesus manifests himself to us today. Did anybody physically see Jesus here today? Probably not. But we all felt him through the power of his Spirit, and it's nothing to be afraid of. And so we're going to get into this today and look at what Jesus says in John 6, verse 63. He says, "The Spirit gives life, and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life." That the words that God spoke were Spirit. It was like wind that came, the breath of God. So when we get into his word, it's fresh air into our soul. And if we could go back to Genesis 1 and 2, at Genesis 1 and 2, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Now we see that in the creation story, God created everything we see by spoken words. And I believe that those spoken words were really the breath of the Holy Spirit that formed everything that we see. And so we see that this fresh air was at work at the beginning of creation. And then in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus says, it says that he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Are you getting this? That the Holy Spirit is like invisible fresh air. That his disciples were gathered around him, and this is before Jesus ascended, and he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And what he was trying to tell them, guys, is that this is going to be fresh air into your life. This is going to be like an invisible wind that comes and changes you. Does anybody want some fresh air of the Holy Spirit here today? All right, so I want to give you some characteristics. If you have your handouts and you have a pen ready, be ready to write these down. Number one, wind is unseen. Wind is unseen. And this goes, like I was talking about, you know, it's easy for us to rationalize and conceptualize Jesus because he appeared as a human that we can see. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about an unseen manifestation of God's person. And so a lot of people have trouble with this, but remember what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That I can't see the Holy Spirit today, but I can see what he's doing. I can feel him even though I can't see him. And sometimes we have to approach this topic from a standpoint of faith and believe that the Spirit is at work even though I can't see him directly. And so God isn't meant to be known in every way. What I mean by that is there are some things about God we just don't understand. But just because we don't understand completely doesn't mean it isn't real. There's a lot of things about how the world works that I don't understand. I don't understand the mechanics of how airplanes work, but it's real. I don't understand the mechanics of all the technology I use, but it's real. And it's the same way with God. You know, a lot of people think that if you just read your Bible enough, you can know everything about God. And you ever met, you know, those Bible answer man people that they think they got all the answers, they got it all figured out, they've got it worked out into this perfect little formula. God doesn't work like that. None of us are ever going to completely figure out God. And that's a good thing, because here's the thing. The moment we can make a little box of this is how God works and this is everything that can be explained, that's the moment that we limit him to our human explanations. And so the Holy Spirit goes beyond our human conceptions and explanations. The Spirit can move on us. And here's the great thing. Here's why we don't want to reduce him to a formula. He can move on us, and in 1 minute, he can give us understanding and clarity that 100 books could never give. Because he is God, and he can direct our thoughts. He can give us experiences. And you can't argue with an experience. How many's had an experience with God? And what God wants us is to know Him and experience Him, not just know about Him. And the moment we limit Christianity to what we can know about Him just by books or certain rational knowledge is the moment we'll begin to limit Him, and the Spirit will begin to die in ourselves and in our churches. And we want the Holy Spirit to have His way. And He's unseen. We can't completely understand. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You can't see everything, you know, that how the wind is moving, but you can see leaves are blowing and you can see damage that it does. Why? Because you can see the effects of the wind. And you know what? I can't see the Holy Spirit today, but I can see the effects of the Holy Spirit today. Today, when we prayed for these people, I saw the effects of the Holy Spirit. Last week, I wasn't here, but I understand that there were some effects of the Holy Spirit. And so if the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, there is going to be some effects. There's going to be some fruits of the Spirit. There's going to be some internal change. There's going to be some outward manifestations to show you that the Spirit is working in your life. Just because you can't see Him doesn't mean you can't see His effects. Can somebody say amen? Number two, the wind is unpredictable. The wind is unpredictable. John 3:8, Jesus said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." You can't contain the wind to a building. You can't tell the wind where to go. You can't build a high enough wall to keep the wind from blowing into a community or an area. It's going to blow wherever it wants. And that's how the Spirit moves. You can't tell God's Spirit where it can and cannot go. You can't say, well, you're allowed to be in this church, but you're not allowed to be in that church. You can't say, well, you're allowed to move in this person, but you're not allowed to move in this person. The Holy Spirit will move wherever He wants to. He will do whatever He wants to do. It's like a raging storm that just appears and it begins to rain, and there's different effects. That's how the Spirit moves, because the Spirit is unpredictable. And again, what we like to do is say, well, the Holy Spirit has to move this way, right? This is how it moved in my life, and that's how it should move in everybody else's life. How many knows that the Holy Spirit doesn't care about what your opinion is? The Holy Spirit just moves, and it's unpredictable, and sometimes it moves on people that we wouldn't have picked. It moves in churches we wouldn't have thought, but the Spirit cannot be contained to a building. The Spirit cannot be contained to a group. The Spirit cannot be contained to an ethnicity or a nation. The Spirit will move wherever He wants to move. Somebody praise God today. The Holy Spirit's not going to stop by and say, hey, is it okay if I breathe on some Muslim people today? The Holy Spirit's not going to stop by and say, hey, I was just checking, is it okay if I move in this church down the street? The Holy Spirit will go wherever He pleases, because that is how the wind works. And so the Holy Spirit has the power to do whatever it wants to do. Why? Because it's unpredictable. And we like to keep God in a box and tell Him what He can and cannot do. But the Holy Spirit is like a raging wind that just goes wherever it wants. So point number three, the wind is powerful. The wind is powerful. If you've ever been in a tornado or a hurricane, you can testify that the wind is powerful. It can do tremendous damage. It can uproot trees. It can take out entire buildings. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is powerful. It has the power to change, has the power to completely rearrange things. And Jesus, He told His disciples in Acts 1:8, He said, "You shall receive power after the holy breath, after the holy wind comes on you." That you're going to receive a new power. And you know, this really baffled them, because they thought He was talking about political power. And they actually asked Him the question, "When will the kingdom of Israel be restored?" Immediately after He made the statement, He said, "You know, that's not for you to know." They completely misinterpreted what He was saying. And you know, God isn't wanting to give you more political power. God's not wanting to give you more physical power. God's not wanting to give you power in the ways that we often associate. What he wants to do is give you Holy Spirit, spiritual power, inner strength to do his will. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to do what you can't do. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to do things that would be impossible on your own. And we see that this was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It said, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Notice that it was a violent wind. That was the Holy Spirit. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So notice that, you know, this was more than symbolism that was happening here, that the Spirit came like a ruddy, rushing, mighty wind. It was a powerful wind. And that wind, that fresh air, filled those disciples. And they went out and they changed the world because of this fresh air. And I believe that God wants to give this church fresh air. God wants to give our families fresh air. The fresh air of the Holy Spirit that breathes new life into us, gives us new power, gives us mighty faith, gives us the faith that we can change the world, gives us the faith that all things are possible through Christ. So we can't rationalize or figure this out on our own. The disciples would have missed it had they tried to figure it out on their own, but they needed the Holy Spirit, and we have to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives to have the full power of what God has for us. And so what we want is the breath of God. What we want is that Holy Spirit to breathe on us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, Paul says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. Think about that for a moment. That fresh air that came upon the body of Jesus and resurrected him from the dead, that's in you and I. And that's what you need to resurrect you from your condition. And it says, he says it will give you new life. It will give you life to your mortal bodies. How many need some life to your mortal body today? How many need some life in your family? Your family needs fresh air. Your finances need some fresh air. Your relatives need fresh air. Our communities need fresh air of the Holy Spirit to bring life to us. And so it's the breath of the Holy Spirit that will take us out of the doldrums. And a lot of you, you just need a new, fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. That it's been a while since you've encountered the Holy Spirit. That maybe you've just kind of settled into going to church and performance religion, and you haven't really encountered God the way you need to. And some of you today, we need to respond to the Holy Spirit and say, God, breathe some new life into me. I've become stale. I've become stagnant. I've become complacent. And so that is what we're going to seek today, is more of the Holy Spirit. So I want to give you three steps to pursue the Holy Spirit in your life. Three steps that maybe this is all new to you, that maybe you're from a church background where they didn't talk about the Holy Spirit much. Maybe this topic is just completely foreign to you and you're just not familiar with the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to give you three concepts that will help you, okay? And then the first thing I want to say is let go of fears and misconceptions. Let go of fears and misconceptions. A lot of us maybe have had bad experiences where maybe somebody forced something upon us when we weren't ready for it. Maybe, you know, somebody tried to shove this topic down our throat when we weren't ready for it, and that can do tremendous damage, and that can make us resistant to what the Spirit wants to do in our life. Maybe somebody gave a misrepresentation of what the Holy Spirit was to you. And I want to just tell you that we don't pull out the snakes here, okay? There are people that have, you know, really done tremendous damage to the move of the Spirit by misrepresentations, and I believe that it makes God angry. All right? The Holy Spirit's never going to do anything that makes you feel uncomfortable and you're not ready for. Is that all right? that we want you to get to a place where you're ready for the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life. And you know what? We're all on a journey, and today we just want you to be familiar with the Holy Spirit. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." So we want the Spirit to move here. We want the Spirit to move in your life. But it's going to come in a way that maybe you don't understand everything about it, but it's not going to make you fearful. Anything that makes us fearful is not of God. Anything that intimidates us is not of God. And the Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit is a refreshing experience. It is an invigorating experience. And so we need to let go of our fears and misconceptions. Nobody's going to body slam you here. We're not going to pull out the snakes. There's not going to be anything, you know, too weird that makes you completely uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit moving in your life. I see some of you laughing here, but that's okay because some people really believe that. You would be shocked the number of people when they ask me, "Well, what's your church background?" And they say Pentecostal. And they ask me, "Well, do you bring out the snakes?" No, we don't bring out the snakes. And I think if I were the devil, I would probably make weird stuff like that happen to make people scared of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you guys are quiet, but it's still true. And so you need to put away your fears and misconceptions. And here's what I would advise you to do. Stick with what the Bible says. Show what the Bible says about people who had experiences with the Holy Spirit. And if you stick with what the Bible says, those stories and those accounts of how people encountered the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts and in the New Testament, that will give you peace of mind. All right, so number one, put away your fears and misconceptions. Number two, go all in. Go all in. If you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life, completely devote yourself to seeking Him. Completely devote yourself to seeing a move of the Holy Spirit in your life. And this means that you have to spend time in prayer. This means that you have to seek after Him. That it's not something that may happen immediately, but sometimes it takes time to become familiar with the Holy Spirit and to get to know how God moves. And look at what happens in Acts chapter 1. Remember, Jesus told His disciples, He said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And in other places, He told them, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit." And so they obeyed His command. And in Acts 1:12, it says, the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women Mary and the mother of Jesus and His brothers. I want you to see what they did. They gathered together constantly in prayer. That there were no superstars here. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had to do the same thing. That their earthly relationship with Jesus did not give them a pass from seeking the Holy Spirit. And they had to spend time constantly in prayer. And I want to tell you, regardless of what our church background is, regardless of what our religious background is, maybe you were born on a church pew. Maybe you've been raised in church your whole life, but you've never had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, you need to seek Him in prayer. Maybe this is your first Sunday here. You've only been coming a few weeks, and this Holy Spirit thing is completely foreign to you. Well, I want to tell you, seek Him in prayer. Seek Him in fasting. And I love what Jeremiah 29 says. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." God wants to give you an experience with the Holy Spirit. But it's going to require us to seek Him with our whole heart. You see, sometimes we come to Jesus and we make a decision to follow Him. And sometimes that's just where we stop. Is that maybe we can say that we've made this decision? But God wants to give us this experience with the Holy Spirit. And this leads to our third point, and this is the reason why. Number three, we want to encounter Jesus through the Holy Spirit daily. We want to encounter Jesus through the Holy Spirit daily. John chapter 14. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So this is why it's so important to seek after the Holy Spirit. And that is this. It is through the Holy Spirit that we get to know Jesus today. You see, we can make a commitment to follow him, and that is necessary, and that is a huge step, and that's so important. But we want to go beyond just committing ourselves to following him, and we want to know him. And we know him through the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus ascended into heaven. As I said before, he's not physically here today, but he is here today through his Holy Spirit, because his Holy Spirit is his invisible presence moving in this room today. And so when we say, Holy Spirit, fill me, what we're saying is, Jesus, I want your character. I want you to fill me today with who you are. Jesus, I want to know you through your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I want to feel your presence here today through your Holy Spirit. And we have to position ourselves to experience Jesus daily through his Holy Spirit. Because here's what we often do. We often settle for knowledge of him. We often say, well, I'll just read my Bible. And that's fine. And that's great. And you need to read your Bible. But there is something deeper than just knowing facts and knowing stories. And that is a real personal experience with Jesus. And that happens through his Holy Spirit coming to us. And he said, I will not leave you orphans. He says, I will come to you personally through my Holy Spirit. And I'm glad today that I can't see God. I can't see Jesus physically. But you know what? I know without a doubt that before I leave this church today, I have personally felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, I think that's not what, you know, I've been to a lot of churches, but this is what makes our church different, is that you can feel the Holy Spirit when you walk in this room. And that is, you know, there's a lot of, I'm not slamming any other churches out there. There's a lot of great churches, but a lot of times churches, they settle just for someone to come up and give facts about Jesus and to sing songs about Jesus. But here at this church, we want to experience Jesus personally through the Holy Spirit, because that's what changes us. That's what gives us new life. That's what gives us fresh air. And that's what gives us new life in our families. That's why you need to get your family here on Sunday. Why? Because they need to experience the Holy Spirit. They need to experience God personally. And we're not going to settle just to know about him, but we want to know him personally through his Holy Spirit. So we're going to give fresh air principle number four here in a second. And before we do, I'm going to give a couple scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him, by whom you are sealed and marked and branded as God's own, for the day of redemption, the final deliverance, and from the consequences of sin. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? By disobedience. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God by not listening. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God by the way we talk, by the way maybe we talk about other people, the words that come out of our mouth. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God when he's trying to lead us one way and we go the other. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God when maybe he is trying to draw us in for a time of prayer and communion with him, but we're too busy, like we talked about last week. We're too busy to commune with God. We're too busy to pray. We're too busy to go to church. And so we don't leave space for the Holy Spirit to move in our life, and that grieves him. That hurts him. That makes him angry. Why? Because he wants to be in our life, and he wants to give us an experience. So today, let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. Today, if you're here and you feel that something's just kind of been tugging on your heart, maybe you've been coming for a few weeks, and as soon as you enter this building, you just feel something different. Maybe while the worship is going on, you feel something that you've never felt before. Maybe there's a particular point in my message that really just kind of hit you. I want to tell you, that's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus telling you, I love you. I've got great things for you. It's the Holy Spirit trying to say, listen to what this man is saying, because he is speaking words of life and breath there. When you're in worship and you feel just something different, I want to tell you, that's fresh air. And I found the best thing to do is just open yourself up to it and don't resist it. Why? Because when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we cut off the fresh air in our life. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, do not quench the Spirit. In other words, don't fan the flame and cover the flame of God's Spirit in your heart and quench it and keep that fresh air from flowing in your life. That's how we get back into the doldrums. We're not as prayerful as we used to be. We're not as obedient. We're not as open to the things of God. We're just kind of come into church and leave without encountering the Holy Spirit. We never come to the front and open ourselves up for a real encounter with God. We just kind of come in and out and say we went to church. I want to challenge you today. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't put a lid on what the Spirit wants to do in your life. Some of us, maybe it's been a while since we've prayed in the Spirit. For some of us, maybe it's been a while since we've really had a real experience with God that moved us to tears, that moved us within our heart. And I read a quote this week that really, really affected me. I want to read it. It's by a man named Charles Finney, and he was a great revivalist who brought close to 500,000 people to Christ. And he was a lawyer by trade before he became a preacher, and so he had a really tough time getting his mind around the Holy Spirit, like a lot of people. And then one night he had this experience, which I believe was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he says this, he was near his fire, it was late at night, and he said, the Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love, for I could not express it in any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God. Well, that's because it was. Today, I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit's nothing to be afraid of. You know what the Holy Spirit is? It's like an encounter with the love of God like you have never had in your life. And you just have to be open. You just have to say, Lord, I don't understand everything about this, but I'm open. I want to experience you and your power. I want to experience you through your Holy Spirit. So fresh air principle number four is this. Know God through His Holy Spirit. Know God through His Holy Spirit. I wonder if we could all stand here today. I wonder if we could close our eyes right now. If we could tune out everything that's going on around us. For about the next 5 minutes, we could just give space to the Holy Spirit to move in our life. We thank you, Jesus.